I have too many pieces of paper. Good morning, church. I always hesitate to preach on this Sunday because the Bible says it all, but and I can't do any better than the story. But then something always kind of strikes me, and I say, okay, just a little short homily, so hopefully I don't get carried away. Well, good morning. Every year I say that, and because the text is so deep and so powerful for me. But we are Easter people. Easter people. That means that we are after the resurrection. We know what's going to happen. That part's not a mystery for us. But there's so much mystery in what happened. And every time I think about it, I think, wow. You know, and today when we were reading, the idea that I even marked it. That hold on, I'm going to find it. I'm not going to skip it. Yes, I am. Anyway, that's it. Thanks, Holy Spirit. It's there, and I've heard it over and over again, but I have a lot to ponder about how, what did it mean that Barabbas' name was Jesus? Now, I don't have an answer, and I don't know why that question hasn't come to me sooner, but it's certainly a question for study. There was a sign nailed above Jesus' head, and maybe it was as a warning saying, look out, this could happen to you. You might be next. But we, as Jesus people, as Easter people, we are not afraid. We know how the story ends, and we know that all Jesus promised us comes to fruition in this selfless act. God is with us in the worst moments of our lives. When there's nothing left to do but call the name of Jesus, God is there. Jesus endured the cross for us, for you. What can you do for him? So like I say, the biblical writers say everything, pretty much everything, better than I can. But as I was thinking about this and our relationship with Jesus and the idea of sorting him out, if you will, to be a representative of what it means to suffer, what it means to follow and trust God. Paul says it way better than I can. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, are persecuted or hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. sometimes when I hear and read this gospel story, it sounds almost like it's not a tragedy. It's almost, well, he did this and he did this, and then they flogged him and then they took his clothes. But to take a minute and visualize that, and to really, truly, for me, to understand how much this man suffered for us over not just an hour, but days. I can't imagine enduring that pain. I can't imagine that humility. But Jesus did this for us. And he didn't expect anything in return. He died without any strings attached to lead us into eternity. Yet, in spite of this, sometimes we expect a lot from Jesus. So what do you expect from Jesus? And how do you express your love for Jesus? Amen.